Another episode. Get it off your chips.
You heard her. You heard it, Governor.
You heard it, Governor. Get out of my pub.
Freedom. Let's go in the pub. Eat the
Tell you what. Pub. If you've not been to the pub yet and you're listening to this podcast, turn it off. Get yourselves down there, boys. Pint of Foster's. Cheers to me.
We don't take it personal.
Yeah, yeah. There's only one reason you're allowed to pause this, and that's to go down and get yourself a pint.
Probably when I say, I can't wait to sit inside and not watch them start a fly off down the road.
I know. Well, exactly. This is the thing.
That he looks at people waiting in the queue, thinking, sorry, Gov.
Gov. First come, first serve, innit? Can I just tell you a little story? So I went to a restaurant a couple of weeks ago, right? It was a nice day to be sitting outside. A little bit windy, though. I'm trying to look at the menu. That's blowing all over the gaff. One occasion, it's even come up and got me on the cheek.
Ooh.
And I just can't wait for it to all be over. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Just can't wait to be indoors. Take me coat off. Order myself a porn star Prosecco on the side. Lovely jubbly. You come for the vibes. You didn't come for the F1.
Daniel Ricciardo would get it.
I told you, Ricardo, right from day one, is a sort, isn't it? And it's got banter. I was going to say it's got a honker, but I'll look past it.
I love a big nose.
That's like one of Sophie's main fetishes, big nose.
Love a big
really?
Nose.
Well, maybe he's the one for you then, Sophie. You need to get yourself back to Australia, love.
Wish.
Get yourself on his farm, on his tractor.
Honestly, get my green card. See you later. Hello, Daniel.
If you're listening, Dan.
Listen,
got yourself
Dan.
A girl here.
Yeah.
Ready and waiting.
She'd love to feel the wind in her hair. She won't complain if you go over 70.
Also, I don't know if this is going to sound very unsociable of me, but I won't miss sitting out the outside. And obviously, if the tables are like big benches and there's just two of you, you'll be eating and people are like, oh, do you want to sit on the other end of the table? And you're like, yeah, okay. But you just want to enjoy your your meal,
That's one reason I don't understand Wagamamas. I don't want to sit in a school dinner. Do you know what I mean? Like, I like my own table.
You can get booths in Wagamama's, but majority is benches.
I know. I remember when Dad first went in there, he was like, what the bloody hell's going on? Sitting next to this woman, I don't even know. And I'm like, Dad, this is just the way it is. He's like, I don't want to look. Do you know what I mean? It's just a bit weird.
But... I'm surprised John went like, excuse me, love. This table's taken.
Well, I think he looked at me and I was like, no, this is what the actual restaurant is. You just didn't understand that, like, random people sitting next to you.
But to be fair, if you go out for dinner with someone, you want to go out with them, not with, like, Jane and Dick next door to you.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, when the shandies get flowing, then they think they can join in.
Yeah.
And you don't know me like that, Jane.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I went and sat outside and had food the other day, and this old couple, and they're like, I'd say 50s. 50s, 60s. Oh, do you want to sit at the end of the table? We're like, yeah, like, go for it. So he goes in, the man thinks he can go in and order. He comes out, he's like, got to order on the app, love, got to have iPhone. So they fuck up.
I'm surprised they didn't ask you to do it for him.
Oh, bugger that. I wouldn't have got my money. They wouldn't pay.
Got to have iPhone.
Like, can't be asked to download that app. Let's go, Costa. She won't get a gin and tonic.
Oh, bless her.
Bless her. All she wanted was a little cleanse of the palate.
But, girls, you know what also we've become this past week?
What?
Vaccine queen. Young and free.
Oh, we're COVID-free.
Bum, bum.
Get me a shandy. Inside, please. I don't want sharp nippies.
Yeah, so we're all... Well, I'm fully vaccinated.
Me and Britt have the first dose of it.
I got the link up, you know.
This time next month, I will also be fully vaxxed.
I'll be fully vaxxed week off my birthday.
I'm on that Moderna shit, though. I'm on the Moderna shit. So if I drop dead tomorrow... I signed the paper, do you know what I mean? I knew what I was getting myself in for. It's been a good 25.
Put it in me, let me get on my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Stick it in, get on
with it. I'd have said put them both in if you could, love, but obviously you've got to
wait. I'd say one in each arm, love.
One in each cheb. Makes it go through your body.
Fuck's sake.
So yeah, buzzing about that. Although, just a bit tender, you know, them flu symptoms really did come through, but feeling on top of the world.
But it's better than COVID.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
100%. 100%. If you get off with it, I think take it. If you really don't want to, then don't. But don't complain if you can't go on your fucking Ryanair flight.
It's one of them. If you don't want it, you don't have to. I'll say no more, but I won't see you on my plane to Ibiza. See you later. Do you know what I mean?
Precisely.
There'll be no sunsea for you, my lover.
So this week we are doing a little girl chat dilemmas. I feel like it's been a bit of a while since we've all been just the three chebs. So
it's been a while since we've run our mouths.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's about time
that we get back to being chatty patties.
Exactly that. Right.
So
girls,
shall we get into it?
Let's go.
So the first dilemma we got sent through, which I read and I could really relate to actually. So it said that I feel like I've lost my spark during the pandemic. How do I become a bad bitch again?
Get yourself some lovely new gowns. Get yourself a table books. Put on Cardi B. Yada, 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 yada. And go for it. Get the girls over. Have a couple of shandies and remember who the fuck you are.
I think this question's a bit tricky because I still feel like I'm trying to get my spark back myself. So obviously, because of the pandemic, it's been a bit of a rough old ride.
Mm.
It's really, you know, dragged us through the bush backwards.
Yeah.
Left us with a few cuts and scratches along the way. I feel like it's a bit hard to dust stuff off and just crack on like nothing's happened. So I have found that, like, I'm so excited to go out and see everyone again and do stuff. But at the same time, I'm a bit like, I'm so used to not doing anything. I need to like recharge a lot more and a lot. I still have more time for myself.
Yeah.
I feel that overwhelming part of it.
I think it just depends on the person you are. Like if you're not the type of person that you want to go out and, you know, have drinks, blah, blah, blah. I think just do things that make you feel happy. If that means meeting up with friends or going to the cinema again or going to the beach. You can stay in Airbnbs now. If you want to go abroad, you can. But, I mean, only to the greenest countries. But I think, like you said, I think there's such a pressure. Like, as much as I love this term as hot girl summer, I think a lot of people associate that with being, like, skinny, having a six-pack. You've got to get back to hot girl. Like,
yeah.
Hot girl summer is about being happy with yourself and just surround yourself with good people.
And also, it's like, just like being with yourself and realizing what it is that makes you feel that smart, that spark. Like, do things that make you feel good.
Yeah.
If that's not going out and getting drunk, don't do that. Like, if that's having picnics with your friends or going to the cinema, like, or having tea with your mum, do whatever makes you happy. You have to, the way to get your spark back is to think about what makes you feel good.
Definitely.
And do that.
What you think you should be doing.
Yeah,
yeah,
and not rely on other things to make you feel yourself again, because that's only temporary. Like, I read something the other day and it was like, you're the only person that you've woke up with and gone to bed with your whole life. And I was like, wow, that's so true. Like, you are the only person you can really rely on. So as much as I, you know, I can't wait to see all my friends and family, like you say, I feel like I'm going to need more time to recharge because we haven't had, like, we haven't been used to so much social time and going out. And
like, I remember when you finished traveling, Soph, and we met you in New York, and obviously you've been by yourself for like a whole year. And even you were overwhelmed with like 5 days of like,
it was just going from like naught to 100 for me. It was not like I didn't want to see you, but it was just like, whoa, there's like 10, like, usually I'd be like, right, I'm doing this today because I want to go here. And it was like five other people. I loved it. I love New York, but it was just a lot to like cope with. And I think that's the same with this. Like, I think we need to remember that like what we've been through is not normal. Like these pandemics don't happen every 5 years. Like they happen every other 100 years. So I think we need to be a bit easy with ourselves and go at your own pace. Like don't just be like, right, I'm going out every weekend. I'm going to do things every night of the week. Do you know what I mean? I think you just need to, like we say, self-care is the best care. If it means you just having a night in, just face mask, film, do it.
Also, I don't know how people can afford to go every night.
Yeah.
People on social media going out for drinks and food every night. I think, darling, where are you getting your banknotes from? Because let me go to your bank.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think personally, it just depends entirely on the individual. Because like, my, like, I'm booked every single weekend now until August. And for me, like, that's the best way to cope for me because it's like, I've been locked up. I live alone. Like,
yeah,
I've done nothing for the past, like, 3-4 months. So that's the best way for me to cope. But it just depends on how you personally cope with it.
Yeah.
And I just doing things that make you feel good.
Yeah. And like you say, social media can be a great thing, but also like, don't feel like, oh, I should probably be going out and like going out for drinks and food. You know, like, don't look what other people are doing. It's easy to kind of get drawn into it and have this almost like fear of missing out. But like, treat this as like a fresh start. Treat it as just the beginning of like your new life. Just go in with a fresh mindset. Do what makes you happy. And you'll get your spark back. So we've been sent in this one, which I kind of had mixed feelings about when I first read it. I was like, ooh. But then I thought, So,
Cancer now.
So it says, does supporting other women have limits? Are we still doing go off queen if we actually disagree?
No, we're not.
No.
If I disagree with them, I'm not going to be like, yeah, you go, girl. I'll be like, did I take a step back?
Once again, depends on the individual. Depends if you like to have a brown nose or not. Me personally couldn't give a fuck. So I'll tell you how it is. Do you know what I mean? I think it just depends on the circumstance, really.
I think as well, it depends on how severe what they're saying. Like, if you really disagree, then I'd be like, girl, like, take a step back. But if it's like something that I think you've got to pick your battles, I'd be like, you know what, I'm
and also if it's something that's none of your business, just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, I think
if it's not going to affect you, then like, if it's not something that you really need to voice your opinion towards and you feel really strongly about it, then just like kind of mind your own. I think that's like what Anne says. As I've grown up, I've learned there's, you just need to pick your battles, because sometimes it's not worth it. It's just not worth your energy.
People all the time, fight. You're every time you bring up something, it's going to seem completely irrelevant. Just going to sound like you're always picking a fight with people and like disagreeing with people. Like, you really do have to pick your moments.
Mm-hmm. If it's something you feel really strongly about, definitely. But
I think it comes, like you say, with maturity. I definitely think when I was younger, I probably picked arguments. Like, I like to get like a bit of...
Yeah, you like to get rowdy.
I like to get a bit rowdy. Like, I love a debate. Like, don't get me started on it, because I fucking will just go off. If it came to like my friends and my friend came to me with like a scenario, if it was something like really serious, I would have no worry about saying like, no. Like, if they've been out of order, I'll tell them. Or if I don't agree with it, I'll tell them. But like I say, if it's just like a little thing, it's like... You don't want to be that person. You don't want to be that friend that's just constantly like just going off and being off with someone. Like I say, you just got to pick your battles.
But. And if it's just a little like white lie, like for example, if one of your friends says, for example, if your friend's got an absolute corker, do you know what I mean? She's got a corker on her left cheek and she says, does this look bad? Honest opinion. You'll be like, no, you can barely see it. Even if it's raging. Because if you say to her, yes, it's awful, she's going to be conscious of it all day long. So sometimes you just got to be like, no, babe, I can barely see.
I think it's different with sisters, because we're like caught between that volcano on your chin.
Mm.
It does hurt my feelings, but like, I know it's there. And I feel like sometimes, it keeps me grounded. It keeps me humble. But I think sometimes some people will ask you for advice to almost, they know the answer and they want a reaction. But they already, like...
Do you know an example of this, right?
Right.
Every time Brit sends fucking picture options in our group chat of what she wants to post on Instagram, every time I will pick images and she could post the complete opposite ones that she already knows she wants to post.
Yeah.
But she don't listen to my opinion, so why are...
But that's not true, is it, love?
It is.
No, she picks the ones I pick.
That's not true, love. Here's the thing. You can't tell me post that one, then don't like it when I post it. Because not being funny, yesterday, your boyfriend liked it before you did. And I say that's muggy.
I mean, God forbid I'm not on my phone every second of every day.
I mean, if Russell Geetap is there to come through with a little bit of support, fair play to him. But where the fuck are you, big
darling? I had a little bit of fever last night. I thought I was on the edge.
No fever.
Just a little bit on backtracking to the vaccine. If anyone has had the vaccine, write to us on Instagram and let us know how you felt, because all I'm saying is I slept from 8 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. Solid 12 hours. I was exhausted.
Absolute blue.
Yeah, it was nice. Annie had the shivers. God love her. COVID Annie. As you feel safe, what was it? Just a little numb arm?
I felt fine the first one. I had an advisor. I felt fine the first jab. And then the second one, I just felt hungover. But I think the reason I felt so bad is because I haven't been hungover in so long. So for me, it was like, I went to work, but some people from my work just have days off.
On the subject of getting back into the swing of life after COVID, that's one thing I'm dreading, like handling my alcohol again. So I'm like, on the weekend, you guys are home. I've got a party on the Friday night. We've got Bev's birthday party on the Saturday. And then I've got a beer festival on the Sunday. And I am dreading it. It's a 3-day bender. I've not done that since I was 17. Yeah, I've not done it since I was 17.
Might as well book you in for Monday AM for your stomach pump.
I'm dreading it. I don't think I'm going to be able to handle it, to be honest. Because usually if I get drunk, I'm right off.
Bev's isn't going to be a big sesh, but we'll go to the Crown after.
We're going to Crown after, though. Yeah. And when is the Crown not a big sesh? Listen, I'll survive. It'll be worth it. I reckon day 3 will be better.
Okay, so say your friend is being spoken to like shit by the boyfriend, or you notice things that like is disrespectful. Is this a moment where you pick your battles?
If they bring it up to me and ask me, then I will give my opinion, but I will not openly give my opinion without them asking of it.
And if it's something that's like happening regularly, so if they argue a lot and you've voiced your opinion a few times and they don't listen, it's one of them where you just need to bite your tongue, because they're going to come to the conclusion themselves. No matter how many times you say it, you say it till you're blue in the face, but they're going to come to that conclusion when and if they come to that conclusion. They get to a point where there's nothing more you can say. All you can do is support them.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. It's circumstantial. Like, say if someone says something homophobic or racist, I would be like, I disagree. And I would obviously like voice my opinion on that. If someone just says something like, I stepped in dog shit, does it smell? Yes, it does. Do these trousers make me look fat? No, not at all. They're not really doing them any favours, but you're not going to say, they make you look huge. Do you know what I mean? It's just completely circumstantial. If it's important, say your piece. If it's not going to make a difference to you or anyone else's life, or it's going to hurt their feelings, keep your mouth shut.
That's what I mean. Like, it's not worth tarnishing a friendship or a relationship purely because, like, if it's something so minor... Something's just got to keep in your head. Put it in the filing cabinet.
Like you said, like if you notice certain things, like say if that is the scenario, if that person doesn't come to you or confide in you, they're not going to want your opinion freely without them.
Exactly. And it's just going to piss them off.
Yeah. It's going to just build a void between you and that person, and then they're not going to come to you about shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%.
Period. But we are all for women, you know, women supporting women, girls supporting girls.
But if you cross that line, then feel free
to. So we did a little poll on our story and we asked you guys, do you have a fear of settling? So it could be friendship, it could be relationship, it could be career. 69% of you said yes, 31% said no. How do we feel about the fear of settling?
I think like I'm a classic Virgo. So if a relationship or a friendship isn't fulfilling me anymore, I'll just cut that shit off and I won't think twice. That's in my personal relationships, but with my job I'm different, because obviously that different factors play into that, like you still need to financially support yourself, blah blah blah. I think I'm definitely not as ambitious as I used to be, because you know I've got bills to pay, so whoever pays the bills. But I don't know,
I just feel like whatever that's going to take you, it's going to take you.
Sometimes I think like, I wish I had this job. But then I think like, as long as I'm happy in my life and in myself, then what does it really matter? Like, it's just overthinking. Yeah, I just think you are where you're supposed to be, and life happens and everything happens for a reason.
Everything ends up working its way out one way or another.
Yeah, like if I've ever thought to myself, like if something bad has happened to me and I feel like, why the fuck is this happening to me? Like a few months or a few years down the line, I'll look back and I'll think, wow, that really did work out for the best. I'm so glad that happened.
I think the fear of settling, I go through phases with it. I feel like at the minute I'm 22 and I'm in a like predicament where I just don't know where I want to be. What do I want to do? And it's not almost like I have a fear of settling, like I deserve the best job, because I don't think there is the best job in the world. But I think it comes down to happiness. I feel like the fear of settling stems down to the, like, not your fear of not being happy, like your fear of, you know, sitting in your house and thinking, oh, like, I wish I took that job, or like, oh, like, I wish I'd gone on that. What if I'd gone on that date? Where would my life be now? Or like, what if I'd taken that job? What if I hadn't have? You know, I think
you just play devil's advocate against yourself. That's all.
That's what I mean. I think a lot of it is overthinking,
which I think I'm in right now.
But the thing is, you get in your head, but then you don't make any steps. You just get in your head and overthink everything, but then you don't actually make any positive moves forward.
No.
You just need to talk about mindset and just be like, I don't like where I am at the minute, but at the minute I'm doing everything I can to get out of this and pursue something that I want to pursue, but you can't pull something out of a hat.
I don't think things are handed to you. Like, I know I have to work hard for things that I want. And like, I think I've had especially like in the past couple of years, I think I've had a realization of what I want in like a boyfriend or what I want in a career. Because I think you have to go through bad jobs and bad relationships to kind of know, right, it's teaching me what I don't want. So now I know what I do want and what I do deserve. So I think I'm in a place now where I've kind of like, right, I've learned all of my lessons. I can't deal with anymore.
I know.
I've got, this is the scary part. I know shit.
And you haven't learned all your lessons, so. Like, there's more to come.
You probably won't learn all your lessons until you're in the death bed.
There can't be more. I'm all lessoned out.
Yeah. I don't even think you should be thinking of it like that. Just take every day as it comes and just be happy.
Probably our parents still haven't learned certain lessons or still make mistakes and still fuck up. Like, it's natural. No one knows what they're doing. Everyone just
But what I'm saying is, it's like a journey. Like, I feel like you need to go through the shit times. Like Britt said, everything does pan out, but it's this like limbo phase where you're in the middle of it. Like, I know things are going to end up the way they need to be, but in the moment it's like a duck on water. Like, I'm cool on the surface, but underwater my legs are just going off on one. I'm really going for it underneath.
He ain't got our armbands.
Swimming against the tide.
Yeah, I just think says to me, you're like, oh, you're so chilled. Like, you just you've got it all fit. I'm like, darling, if only you knew.
Yeah,
I think it all boils down to like you said, friendship, relationships. If they're not working out for you, and like you put a stop to them because they're not for you, that's all you can do. And like, so long as going forward, if anything isn't fulfilling you the way that you think they should, then you don't settle. I think that's all you can do until you find something that you are happy with.
And I know, like, I'm not alone. Like, I know that probably there's so many people my age or like, you know, especially after the pandemic, I think everyone's like doubting, like, oh, do I enjoy my job? Because you've had to, like, that's the only thing you've had to really focus on. So it's been like everyone's main thing. So I feel like everyone at the minute is just so kind of fed up and almost like, you know, losing their spark. You kind of don't even know what you like anymore. Like, I feel like that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, I don't even know what I enjoy anymore. Like, I don't even know what job I'd even thrive at. I've lost
complete confidence. We have to try different things, like do online courses, try new hobbies, just do new shit. Mm. Just like to flip the switch. So obviously being so full, like we've been through breakups, like jobs we don't like, whatever. Obviously, Anne, you're in your first relationship you've ever had. First, like, real job you've ever had. Do you ever think, am I settling? Like, is that something that crosses your mind?
All the time. I mentioned this with, like, the episode that we did last week with Ray, like, in, like, your head, you've been with one person, and they've been with one person, you think, oh, should I have played the field before I settled down with one person? And it's, like, some people would, like, love to be with the first person they met. So, like, it's, like, a double-edged sword. Is that And with, like, same with, like, career, like, I have no clue what my next move is going to be career-wise, as I feel like it's my first job. I enjoy what I do, but don't you know, there's moments where I'm like, I need to kind of try and figure out what my next move is, because I don't know how long I want to be in this particular industry for. I don't know if I want to be in it, like, for another 5 years, or if I want to go into a different venture. Like, I don't know. So, like...
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm in a bit of a limbo phase at the minute. We've kind of
And instead of looking at looking at it as settling. Like, I love my job. I wake up every day and I look forward to going to work, but I know that I'm not going to be there for the next 30 years. Like, I don't think I think we're millennials, and this not expected, but I just think as millennials, we move around more, and we like, instead of in like the old days, it would look good for you to be at a company on your CV for like 15 years. That would really be applauded. I think in our generation now, it's more applauded to have more experience. So I think we move around a lot more. I don't know. I just think instead of looking at it as settling, like, look at it as growth.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I feel like it's just one of them things where no job is perfect. Every job has its flaws, and you can just have a really bad week and be like, that's it, I've had enough. But then obviously I've been in my job now for 3 years. I think that's 3 years. And you do worry that you'll kind of settle, especially if, like, you're not progressing to where you want to progress, and you feel like you're just kind of, it's one of them things. I love the people who I work with. You can't stay in a job for the people that are in it, but they do play a big factor to why you want to go to work.
Yes.
Because I could be doing my dream job and getting all the progression that I want, like I physically want, and it's justifying. If I work with a group of people that I don't get on with, and they don't bring joy to my everyday life, like, you spend more time with people you work with than you do with family.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like that's such a big factor in it. So, like I said, it's just one of those situations where it's just like, life will take me where it wants to take me. I'm not putting any pressure on myself.
I think for me, the lesson I'm going to take from this question is that you can't let the fear of settling stop you from doing the things you need to do. Okay, this is quite a funny one, and I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say. So we asked you, do you think getting along with your in-laws is important? 93% of you said yes.
Yes.
7% said no, suck your mum.
I say yeah.
So important.
Because otherwise it's just very awkward.
But you're not living with them every day.
You're not, but it just makes it harder.
And also think about longevity as well. Like, you're going to have kids. Hopefully if you're with this person, like the end goal is to have a family, whatever, you know, you're going to have kids with this person. Like, and they're always going to have an opinion. Like, that's going to be their grandkids. Do you know what I mean? It's good to get along.
I think as well, like, it's if it's like really awkward, like if the in-law is making you feel really uncomfortable, if your partner is like there for you, they should have a word. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing worse than like a mummy's boy that's like, did you show me that clip the other day?
Yeah, I sent Sophie this TikTok the other day, and it was this guy and his wife or fiance, and they were basically building a house, and they had the architect there, and his mum decided to come along, and the girl's like, yeah, and me and the architect are thinking all open plan, and the mum goes, I don't like it. I don't think it should be like that.
And you know what I'd say? I don't like you.
And then the guy was like, mum doesn't like it. I really want to get her involved because it's her plan as well. And I'm thinking it's not her house. And they start talking about the guest room. She's like, well, what about my room? And they're like, and this
is pretending in the back garden.
Fiance, I would not have got my, I would have literally been like, no, darling, engagement's off.
I would have been like, cut the cameras.
But she was like a very overbearing mother. Like, if I was like the daughter-in-law, I wouldn't have even stood up for myself. I'd have been
here's
like,
the thing.
Want, love.
This is why it's so hard being a girl. Because if there's one thing I found, it's that mothers think their sons are fucking princes. Like, they think they can do no wrong. Like, what's the saying? Like, a son is a son until he finds a wife or something like that. Something like that. It's like, basically, mums don't like it because you're taking away their baby, which is just pathetic because it's not the case at all. But, you know,
I like, the daughters in it.
I didn't believe it, but I've seen it. Like, I've seen it a few times now, and it's really true, which is mad because you'd think that men would be like that about their daughters, but they're not really.
And there's sometimes portray it as being overprotective like that, but.
Dad is like the least protective dad. He's like, do what you want.
I don't know.
Obviously, do what you want, but
I think it probably is a bit daunting, like being a. I won't fancy being your boyfriend. So from the first meeting with JC,
this is what I mean.
You win him over.
Anne had it. I'm not saying you had it easy, but you had it easy because you introduced Russell as your friend initially, and then it was like, oh, by the way,
he still could have thought he was a dick.
I mean, let's be honest. Johnny didn't even like my boyfriend, and Johnny's not even my dad. Do you know what I mean? Well, just going to be like with you, Soph.
But for me, I'm so stubborn. I'll be like, look, like it or lump it, it's happening. Like, I'm headstrong. If I, do you know what I mean?
He would never, this is the difference as well. He would never make you feel uncomfortable. So I'm sure he'd be very polite, even if he didn't like him. But
no, he wouldn't make an issue out of it.
There's occasions where I've seen mother-in-laws make it uncomfortable, should we say?
Yeah. There's just no need, is there? Like,
no.
But like, if your son is happy, that's the main thing. Like, it is embarrassing, I think. I just think it is, I think it is important. But also, like, if you are having problems with your in-laws, you need to talk to your partner and be like, look, if we're going to stay together, this needs to work. So can you please have a word with your mum, or can we all just sit in a room and just hash it out? Because if we're going to move forward, this is the only way it's going to work. Like, you can't live your life walking on eggshells. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, I feel like,
I don't know what you're achieving by not being nice to your son or daughter's
just other in general half, like, be fucking nice to people. Yeah, like, it's not hard. Especially like it's your son, yeah.
Make an effort with them.
So the next dilemma is closure important to you? 59% of you said yes, and 41% said no. So this is context of, I'd probably say, like, friendship, breakups, or relationships. What do you guys think?
Sometimes it's nice to have closure, because otherwise I think you kind of hold a grudge against that person. Not on the road, but like, you spend the rest of your life being like, fuck them.
Yeah.
If you have that kind of closure, you kind of be like, right, they're moving on, I'm moving on, whatever. Like,
yeah.
There's like, even friendships, if they don't have closure, you continue to kind of like dislike them to this day, even if they piss you off in playgroup.
That's so true.
But you're wrong. Yeah, in the group.
I think you shouldn't wait for closure.
No.
I think it's great when you do get it, because I think you kind of can end it on a good note. Not great note, but like a civil note, being like, okay, you know, what's happened has happened. If it's left on like a really bitter note, then I feel like it's hard to not look at that person and not think like, yeah, you prick.
I think it's definitely right what you say, Anne, because there's certain people that I was friends with back in the day that I don't speak to anymore, but we never fell out. Like, there was never an issue. We just never fell out. But like, I wouldn't say that I would look at them kindly now. Like, I do just take the attitude as fuck you. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if there was some kind of closure, then maybe that would be different. But then equally, I just don't care enough to care.
I think, yeah, it depends on the situation. You as an individual, if you feel like it's going to help you heal to get closure, then I think fair enough. But you shouldn't wait for that person to give you closure, because you'll be waiting.
Sometimes you might not get it. Like,
yeah,
scenarios I've been in, like, same with relationships or whatever, if I've broken up with someone, like, I can't give them the closure that they would need, because what is that closure? Like a reconciliation. Like, sometimes you just don't want to be with someone, or you don't want to be friends with someone anymore, and there's nothing you can say. Like, there's no closure needed. Like, you just take different paths. I think in some cases you need it, but not all cases.
I think sometimes as well, like, just after, like, something's kind of gone adrift, or like you've broken up with someone, it's not the right time for closure straight away. Sometimes it's kind of like,
oh yeah,
it could be years later where someone comes up to be like, I'm really sorry for like how I did you back then.
Yeah.
But then I've had experience with that, and it feels like a weight lifted, and you feel like, oh, okay, I don't have to hold like bad. No, but I don't have to hold bad judgment or feelings for
bad energy.
Like, I don't have to worry, like, if I walk into like a bar and you're there, I'm just thinking, fuck's sake, she's there.
Yeah.
Or you there.
Yeah,
like, it kind of lifts you to be like, okay, that's brushed under the rug now, we can both move forward.
Just like smile, say hello, and like, just get on with your night.
Yeah,
wish each other the best.
Yeah, you're right, love. Yeah, not too bad. Cracking.
All the best, gov. Have a good night. One of them.
Get me a drink and we'll call it quits. I take a double vodka and lemonade.
It's the only thing that I find when things don't have closure. Sometimes, like, the waters get a bit misty. Like, you don't know who was in the wrong, who wasn't in the wrong, why things ended a certain way, like.
And it could also leave you thinking you're the one in the wrong.
But that's the thing, because there's two sides to every story. They might think
you've done them dirty, you might think they've done you dirty, whereas like you've never had that conversation to kind of like hatch it out and be like, oh, I didn't know you felt this way.
Literally. And I feel like most breakups never end on like great communication. Like, not many breakups you'll sit there and be like, this is why I don't want to be with you. This is why you pissed me off. Do you know what I mean? It's very much...
I think that can be quite...
That could be damaging as well.
Yeah, that can be damaging.
Yeah.
But I just think
if you feel like,
I think sometimes things have natural evolution. Like sometimes you just drift from people and that's fine. Like there doesn't need to be a conversation. But I think, yeah, with like relationships or if it's something that's really hurt you or you need answers to just to like get on with your life, then I think it's needed. But I think it just depends on the situation. I think if there's ever an opportunity to make peace with someone or a situation, you should do it because you never know if you're going to end up regretting that.
Yeah, especially after the last year we've had. It's kind of like life's too short, and to spend your like, if you are bitter about something or you're still frustrated about a situation, it's better to just hash it out if you need to, or just get things off your chest and get that closure if you need it. If you don't, crack on, babe. You know, no one's gonna say to you like, are you sure you don't need to like talk? You'd be like, no, I'm sweet. Okay, so the last dilemma we're going to be talking about is a bit of a scenario one. So it says, my partner and I broke up because he realised he doesn't feel ready to fully commit to a relationship at the moment. What should I do? I'm beyond waiting. 92% of you said, bye bye. And 8% of you said, give them time.
I think if they're not ready and you want to be in a relationship, then just keep it moving.
There's not a chance in hell I would ever, ever wait around for someone that wasn't sure if they loved me or not. Because if they loved you, they would know and they wouldn't want you
to. I think there's a difference between liking someone and wanting to commit to them. Like, you don't know if he's had, like, a really bad relationship in the past and he's, like, got really bad trust issues and feels like, I can't commit right now.
Yeah, but if you really like that person, you would want to commit to them.
Oh,
at least try to.
Yeah, at least give it a go.
But maybe they're thinking, I don't want to hurt you.
Well, then don't be with me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be hurt.
He shouldn't have insinuated it in the first place. Sort of simple.
I mean, it's good that he's being... Because, in hindsight, would you want to be in a relationship with someone that doesn't want to be committed to you? If they just went away and went like along with it, yeah, babe, yeah, perfect, girl and boyfriend, 1 month anniversary, blah, 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 then like a year down the line, like, I can't commit.
The thing is, though, I think boys give themselves a pat on the back when they're being honest. Sorry, babe. I can't commit at the minute. Oh, thanks for being so honest with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay with you because you were so honest. No, you're just saying that to seem like...
It depends if he's a dick. It depends if he's like, do you know what? Like, I can't do this. You deserve better. I can't commit to you. You should like, you deserve someone that really can commit to you. Or if he's like, I can't commit at the minute, but like, I'd love to keep talking to you. I'd love to keep you hanging on. Like, it depends on the person. Like, if he's the latter, then he's a dickhead and leave that shit alone. But like, if he's like, if he genuinely like likes them but can't commit to them and like says that they deserve better, then fair play, because that's just honesty. And that's just, I think that's just being mature about it.
Yes. I think that's man behaviour, not boy behaviour.
Yeah.
I feel like girls are just sometimes applaud the bare minimum and we need to stop.
That is the bare minimum.
That is like, for someone to be straight out with you, okay, fab. What do you want me to do? Give you a fucking Grammy?
I'd be like, see, if you do then, and when you're ready, come back to me. And if I'm not in a relationship by then yeah, we might give it a go. But
we'll reconsider.
Yeah, I'm going to go explore my options.
Yeah.
But they expect you to fucking wait and hang there like a fucking bone.
I just think that everything happens for a reason. If you're meant to be with someone, it will find a way. And if it doesn't, then it wasn't meant for you.
Yeah, for sure. Everything is written in stars.
But, tiny temper say...
I don't know how I would answer that one, because I'm kind of like, in one head I'm like, yeah, boy, bye. Like, but then also I'm like, it is scenario dependent.
No, it's bullshit.
And it also depends if you've been in that predicament, because I'm sure if you really like someone and like they were saying that to you, you'd be like, oh, like, but I don't really want anyone else. Like, you know, I can't say because I've never been there, but I'm sure I'd be a dumb bitch if I had, so...
This is what I mean. I feel like as much as we give advice in this podcast, we can give advice as much as we can from the outside. But in the situation, we would be them dumb bitches that would be like, yeah, no worries, babe. Text me in 10.
We can only advise from an outsider's point of view.
Yes.
Go out with the boys. Text me when you're home, babe.
Yeah, no worries, hun.
I'm cooking up, but don't worry, I put it in the microwave.
Stay last night, love. Oh, around your mates. Oh, yeah, lovely. I'll come pick you up later.
Yeah, we are then, mugs.
Yeah, got your own mates, love.
I feel like us three kind of stop each other from being them mugs. But also, if we want to be them mugs, we still will do what we want to do. I would love to be like, bye bye. But in the situation, it just depends. How long have you been with them? You know, do you think they're the one? Are they, you know, are they lead? Okay, Annie's going to come up with something.
Quick question, guys. If you were a boy and you weren't like in a relationship or see like exclusive, how long do you think the time is that you could go with not being like exclusive for?
6 months.
You know what he's saying, he's not ready to commit. It's true, that means he's not ready to be exclusive.
What does it like?
Right.
What does commit mean?
What does exclusive like? Define exclusive. Is that just when you're not seeing or sleeping with other people?
You're just seeing that one person. But obviously, he's saying he's not ready for commitment, but surely commitment means like not being exclusive. Like, but if you were someone for a year and they were like, yes, I'm not ready to be like commit yet. I'd be like, I've been with you for a year, love.
Yeah, I feel like in a year, they kind of know who you are. Do you know what I mean? What type of relationship you have in. So I feel like I would say 6 months. If there was no sign of commitment after 6 months-ish, I'd be like...
But then equally, for me, for sanitary reasons, 6 months, fuck that. 6 weeks is too long for me if you're dipping your dick in me and then in other people. Like, that's too long. 6 weeks is too long. Don't be disgusting. Do you know what I mean?
You're just basically, you're just kind of like one of the girls he goes to for 6 months.
What are we talking about?
Commitment. If he's not ready to commit, he's clearly not wanting to be exclusive.
Oh.
How long would you let that go on for until you were like, right, what's the crack here, love? Do you draw that line in the sand and be like, we're either this or we're this, make your mind up?
I think, like, in terms of respect, like, the first time I sleep with someone, it's not like... It's not, you're not seeing them and you're not in a relationship with them, but like there's potential. Like, I personally will be like, you know, are you sleeping with other people? If you are, absolutely fine, like you do you, but drop me out of that.
This is my problem. I assume other people aren't sleeping with, do you know what I mean? If I was talking to someone, I was like, I'm feeling the vibes, you know, there's vibe, you know, there's electricity. I would assume, like, why would they even think about other girls? Because they got me.
Yeah, but that's because you know your worth and there's not many other girls like you, but not every girl is
no,
you.
But like that's like not, like I'm naive to it. I would be so naive, I'd be like, I mean.
That's why now I'll lay on the table, like if you want to
yeah, do that, and I think
why, like please do, but don't think you're going to be doing with me.
I feel like if I knew someone was talking to 10 other people, that would.
Maybe not 10, but you know what I mean. You have to weigh up your options, the same as you would.
That's the nature of the beast when it comes to dating apps. You're going to have to spread your bets and see who popped up, who takes bait,
who takes the roster.
Yeah. The talking stage, I think, fair, but the second like you kind of start seeing someone more and like doing bits of them, going out with them, things like that, then I think that's when you need to kind of be like, what's the crack here? If you're just chatting on Tinder, you can't be like, can we be exclusive?
Yeah. Excuse me, have you been super lax today?
Excuse me, darling, get round back.
Not like that.
Get round.
Excuse me, lady.
Excuse me, lady.
I hate this part, like... Oh, I'm in the midst of it at the minute, like, and I hate it. I hate the dating stage. I hate the talking stage. I hate not knowing where you stand with people. I hate not like knowing if they like you or if they're just fucking about. I fucking hate it. It's the worst. But
it's the worst. But it's kind of like you have to go through that to get to what you want. But it's
100%.
I just can't right now.
As you guys know, we always end the podcast with our quotes of the week. So I'm going to start things off. And my quote is, when things change inside you, things change around you.
Oh, baby. Do you know what? That's so true. That's so true. It's like when something clicks in your head and you start to make changes in your life. Fucking feel that, love. Mine. Stop waiting for Friday, for summer, for someone to fall in love with you, for life. Happiness is achieved when you stop waiting for it and make the most of the moment you're in now. What the fuck are you two cracking up at?
Beep, mine. Beep, beep, beep.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, the girls in Nemo.
mine.
The girl's interrupted me 22 times, so it was a little bit of an abrupt introduction of my quote. But
I did love the quote.
The kids.
So my quote of the week is, believe that you are deserving and watch what happens. Manifest it, baby. We deserve the world.
Love that. Love
put that. Put that on your vision boards and smoke
I'm getting
it.
Tattooed on me.
Right, guys, just to finish this episode off, I just need to tell you recently, I've been having some revelations and I've come to the conclusion that I'm thick in certain areas of life.
I could have told you that.
But I've come to the conclusion, right? You know, the biggest pin drop for me was car boot sales, yeah, Britt?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the pennies just dropped for me that they're called car boot sales because you sell things out your car boot.
You dick.
I know.
Come on, love.
This is what I mean. How is that, like...
But do you know what, though? I'm the same. Like, Ray and her husband were cracking up at me a few weeks ago because have you ever heard of butter beans? They're like basically like
baked beans without sauce.
Kidney beans. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I didn't know that either. But I thought them, I was like, so what are they made out of then? Butter. You know, state the obvious. And they're cracking up. They thought it's hilarious.
And same thing with
that. But it's like saying kidney beans aren't made out of kidneys, are they? So. You know what I mean? Do the maths.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't realise, God, I'm going to get a name wrong. Tracy Ellis Ross was the daughter of Diana Ross, and they look the spit of each other. I did think, I'm a fan of both, and I didn't know that. But I just don't put two and two together.
You put two and two together and you come up with 14, love.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It don't make sense. My head's scrambled.
Make it make sense.
Yeah.
On that note, I think it's time for you to go and have a little look at Wikipedia, love. Go and get yourselves a shandy this weekend. Sit inside, see mates, have a couple of meals. Support your locals, support small businesses, support your friends, support your pair of chebs. Support yourself.
And as always, thank you for listening, guys. Follow us on Spotify so you don't miss an episode. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. And please leave us reviews. We really love reading them. And yeah, get interactive with us on our Instagram, that Get Off Your Chest Podcast. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.